Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler, and we are in week four of our Connect Four series, where we've been talking about all things connection. How do we get people plugged into the life of the church through small groups? And in this episode, we're going to talk specifically about how our groups can impact others. That's right. As much as we want to love and care for one another inside our groups, we also want to have an eye out for how we can share the love of Christ out in our community. And we can do that best together. So today I am joined by Pastor Jake Potter for a really good conversation on how and why we should do this. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. We are still in our Connect Four series. This is the fourth connection that we are making in our Connect Four series. And I'm joined with I am joined by Jake Potter, who is our special guest. He is our student ministries pastor, and you'll be giving the message this Sunday in English.
I sure hope so.
That's the plan.
He has a plan.
So I'm glad Jake is here. I always enjoy Jake coming on the podcast. You have such a cool perspective on things because you work with students, and that's the next generation, and they see the world a little differently than we do sometimes, and you are exposed to that. So I'm glad you're here to share your perspective.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad. So we're going to talk about your message, and then at the end, I do want to talk a little bit about the work you're doing with students and what it's the new school year, so where things are going.
Yeah.
But first of all, let's talk a little bit about this connection series that we've been in. And, you know, man, we're really encouraging people to get into some kind of community with other believers. And, you know, it can be right here at Christ Fellowship. We have talked about all kinds of opportunities, all kinds of groups and classes and Bible studies. You know, also people get together with neighbors or friends or other believers that they know, maybe not from Christ Fellowship. The point is not building up Christ Fellowship's programs. Our goal is to get people connected to other believers.
Yeah, well, I mean, let me just, speak into the perspective as a student pastor for a minute. So, I mean, the small group for our student ministry is just the foundation of everything that we do, which is actually pretty different than it is for a lot of student ministries. When you meet with a lot of other student pastors and other ministries, especially at larger churches, a lot of the focus is on the service. And
like for the big group gathering.
Yeah. And for us, discipleship being like the core of our model, our focus is on small groups. So every Wednesday night, we have small groups directly after the large group time for a church that doesn't have like a Sunday school kind of model.
Yeah.
We have a 100% participation rate with our students in small groups.
Not optional.
Right. Yeah. Because it's built in.
Yeah. It's part of the time. It's what they expect.
Right. But honestly, I think that that goes a long way with the students as well, because it's not just big programs and spectacle and like experiential events, which are important and good.
And fun and wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I'm not trashing that at all. Like we do our fair share of a lot of energy and into our large group worship times.
Yeah.
But when you talk to the kids, I mean, the overwhelming majority of the students will say that the reason they come back to CF students is because of their small group leader.
Yeah.
And I think that primarily, it's not just about, oh, because that's where they get to have their Bible study time, but it's really their life group. It's their support network. And, you know, one of the things that we've really emphasized in our values as a church, being all welcome and all real. And those two things are just something that we will never compromise with our small groups, with the students, because we want the small group to be a safe place where everyone feels like they belong there and where everyone feels like no matter what they're going through or struggling with, that they can talk about. So like, I mean, for me, like the most important part of a small group is being authentic and being able to not be afraid that your mess is in your life is going to make somebody view you any differently.
Yeah,
you
know? That's so important, especially when you're a student and you're so scared of that, that people are going to look at you bad or see you in a bad light.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, kudos to you. That means how many adults do you have to recruit to lead these small groups?
Well, on Wednesday nights alone, we have 40 small group leader spots to be filled.
That's really, really great. Good on those adults for being willing to come and lead these groups and be that adult that these kids know they can come to and talk to.
Yeah, and our small group leaders, I mean, they're extremely faithful.
Yeah.
And I just cannot give enough of a shout out to those leaders because, you know, it's not easy to give up a night of the week and to go spend a Wednesday night with a bunch of students. And you know, we tell our leaders in their training and they know it that, hey, there's going to be days where you get frustrated and you're going to say to yourself, I don't think these kids got a single thing out of this time, but they probably do.
Yeah. You'd be surprised. You really will. You'll be surprised what they remember. And, you know, even if they don't remember anything that you said, they're going to remember that you were present and they're going to remember that you cared and that you were there.
Right, right.
And that, man, that means a lot, especially when you're, you know, an adolescent going through all the scary, difficult adolescent things.
Yes, because, I mean, one of the biggest questions that people ask, and this isn't just for students. Mm-hmm. I mean, we pin this on adolescents a lot, but I think it's really for all people. I mean, the questions of, do I belong?
Oh, absolutely.
And are people going to hate me when they find out what's inside of me?
That is so true. I think, yes, all of us have that as insecurities.
Yes.
Where we're like, oh, nobody can know this about me. Because if you knew this, you would not want to be around me.
Yes.
We all have those.
And for students, it's not even just about like what sin is in their life or what they're struggling with or what they're going through. A lot of times it's just insecurity about who they think that they are, you know, or their interests and like, oh, I don't want anyone to know that I like that band or that I like that TV show or I'm into this kind of subculture, you know, because there's all sorts of like self-consciousness and shame that people deal with. And you're like, oh, they must hate me because I'm like this. And it's like, have they ever said that to you?
Yes.
Like I'll talk to students all the time because they're so self-conscious about it.
Yeah, I think adults are too. I know, really, like you ask a group of adults, what's your favorite movie? And people start getting a little nervous and hemming and hawing and like, okay, well, you know, maybe my favorite movie is, I don't know, Happy Gilmore, you know, or something, but I don't want to admit that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I'm going to say something highfalutin and, you know, more artistic.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know why Happy Gilmore came in my brain. I have no idea.
That's why shouldn't it come into your brain?
Such an old movie. Such an old movie. Okay. So we want that. So yeah, my first question to you, and I think you've kind of answered it, is what is your vision?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've asked this of Bruce. I asked this of Rafe. Mm-hmm. And then what is your vision for what these student groups should look like? So transparency, authenticity, a place to belong, anything else?
Yeah. And I would also add to that, I mean, the other values that we have as a church. So we're all welcome and we're all real. We've talked about that. But we're also all Bible. And so that's been another thing that like on the other end, we need to make sure that in their small group time, they are diving into the Word of God, you know, and that we're not compromising the truth that Christ has called us to live by. And so, yeah, we've got our all welcome, our all real, all Bible, and then all in and all together means like as a small group, we don't want our leaders or the students to be holding anything back and being united as a group of believers.
Yeah.
And so like, I know that that sounds like a textbook answer with the five values, but they're good five values.
There's
you know?
A reason we've had them for, you know, years now. Yeah. Because they really do speak. Like if we as a church all lived those out, can you imagine?
Right.
Like what kind of impact we would have on our community and the lives of people right in our area and beyond if we all really took those seriously.
Yes.
So your sermon in particular, you know, we've gone through this Connect Four. We've talked about sort of four aspects of a group.
Mm-hmm.
And yours is on impact.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we use that phrase. It's part of our four practices, which is impact others personally is the fourth practice. what does that mean? I always like to start with, let's define our terms and make sure we all know what we're talking about here. What does it mean to impact someone? And I'm assuming it doesn't mean like tackle them in the hallway.
Well, you know, you never know.
I have to clarify for the student ministry guy.
Yeah. No, I think that, you know, when we're going to impact someone, that means that we're going to be not just focused on ourselves.
Mm.
We're going to be focused on facing outward with open arms to people who maybe don't know the Lord or maybe don't have the kind of community that we have, and making sure that everyone has an opportunity to know about Jesus and to meet him and to meet a loving Christian community that can really make a huge difference in your life. I think, you know, to impact others personally is the word that we use in our model. And, you know, I think that it's so important to not forget that, because we can talk about how we need to engage God individually.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about how we need to connect in a group and worship in a gathering. And all of those are about us being fed and being with other people. And when we're growing, impact others is, all right, you're growing, and now it's time for you to help someone else grow.
Yeah.
And if we forget that, then we're never going to be pouring out what's been poured into us.
Yeah. We're like ticks.
Yeah.
We just get filled up and filled up and filled up.
Yes.
And that's a gross image on purpose.
Yeah, you just gave me flashbacks to when Katie and I got our dog recently. And
oh, no. Sorry. Didn't mean to trigger you. But yeah, no, we don't want to just fill our... And I talk about this with ladies' Bible studies all the time. Like, it's great that you're here. And some of you have been doing women's Bible studies for 15 years. You're faithful mm-hmm. to it. And that's awesome. But is your head just getting really big? Mm-hmm. Or is the things that you're learning, are you living them out? Are you sharing mm-hmm. them with others? Are you using them to make a difference where mm-hmm. right where God has planted you?
Right. And then, you know, I think that, you know, when the Bible talks about us as believers all working together to impact others, this isn't in my sermon. This is the deleted content from the sermon.
Yes, there's always more than you can
fit in. The two other sermons that I kind of wrote outlines for before realizing, okay, no, this is what the real sermon needs to be. But one of those things that I was wrestling through when thinking about this topic is, I mean, the multiple passages in the Bible that talk about the church working together with the individual spiritual gifts that we've all been given to actually live out the mission of the church, be that Romans 12, 3 through 8, or 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14.
And Ephesians 4.
Yes. Yeah. And there's a reason it's repeated.
Yeah. Paul says it a lot.
Because we need to know that all of us are gifted in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a different role to fill. We can't try to look at what someone else has been doing for the gospel and say, oh, I want to be just like that person.
Right.
It's like, no, God made you to be you. And he's gifted you and called you in very specific ways. And so it takes all of us working together. I mean, I think 1 Corinthians 12, I think it's verse 7, that says that the Spirit appoints each gift according to his will for the common good,
mm-hmm.
which means it's not about, oh, I really want prophecy because that sounds cool.
Yeah.
You know,
I want to heal people. That'd be awesome.
but it's he appoints it according to his will because he sees the church needs to do this.
Yeah.
And so if God is calling the church to do a task, then he's going to gift people with the right gift to complete that task. And it's for the common good, and common meaning it's all of us working together to build each other up.
Yeah. And that's so important. I think we live in a, you know, pretty individualistic culture. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we think about our spiritual journey is my spiritual journey.
Mm-hmm.
We're just so focused on kind of mm-hmm. my road down this path.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget that so many of the commands in scripture are really y'all commands.
Yes.
They're plural. They're mm-hmm. to you plural. So, you know, I've heard people joke about having a Texas Bible where all the plural yous are y'alls.
Yes.
Just to remind us, hey, this is not something that you're just doing. This mm-hmm. is something that you really need to be doing together with one mm-hmm. another. Because we're going to make a more of an impact when we are collectively doing things mm-hmm. as God calls us to do them.
Yeah. It's not just, I am the body of Christ. It's we are the body right. of Christ.
Right. Be yeah. a weird looking body, but just one giant big toe.
Right. Yes. Yeah. We all have a role to play.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And I think, you know, you've already pointed out where you see this in the New Testament churches mm-hmm. is this is a value that they lived out. They mm-hmm. did these things together. What are kind of the areas that we need to focus on? I know you're going to preach specifically on Matthew 9:35.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, through 38. Yeah.
And there Jesus kind of lays out sort of what his mission is. And then that turn in turn is the mission that he's going to give other people. And so yeah. he says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Do you find in that kind of a helpful way for us to think about the impact we should be having out in the world?
Yeah, I mean, Jesus was doing ministry in a way, I mean, it met both tangible and spiritual
yeah.
needs.
Yeah.
But it was also demonstrations that, hey, the kingdom of God has arrived, you know. And is still arriving and will arrive
yes.
in its fullness one day.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, already,
all,
but not yet.
All of those things.
Yeah.
But when Jesus is going out and do that, I mean, the thing that really stands out to me is it says when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And I think that without giving too much of the sermon away, I think the first thing that we have to do is we have to see the crowds. We have to see the need instead of being so focused on our group or our church or our Christian bubble or what have you, the holy huddle, as some people
yes.
may call it.
Yes.
Instead of being so focused on us, to look around and see the need that is all around us in our culture.
Yeah.
Even if that makes us uncomfortable.
Yes, because sometimes it's easier to just turn a blind eye and
yeah
live our own lives in our own little
yeah
group.
well and especially like I think that there is with the way that, and I think I talked about this a little bit in my last sermon over the summer, but there is I think a tendency in churches with the further and further that the culture shifts
mm-hmm.
And separates itself from a Judeo-Christian worldview, right?
Mm-hmm.
The more and more many Christians are prone to wanting to make their own little Christian community bubble.
Yes.
And when we do that, we're not really fulfilling the Great Commission the way that we're supposed to. We're not living out the mission of the church when we try to just retreat from the world. We need to pop the Christian bubble. We need to get out and impact others. We
yeah.
need to be in the world, not of the world.
Yeah.
And Jesus demonstrated that, I mean, by going to people that the Pharisees were really upset that he was going to.
Right, like, why are you talking to those people? Yeah, Jesus could have just hung out at the temple for his whole adult life,
mm-hmm.
right? And just preached and taught.
And I'm sure
temple.
That the Pharisees would have had a much better impression of
yeah,
him.
I bet you're right. Yeah.
But you know what? That's not what he did.
Nope.
And he went out, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he cleansed lepers, he casted out demons, he, you know, ate with tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners and all sorts of people that were looked down on. And so like here in this passage, Jesus sees the need and has compassion.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there are people who are desperately searching for God.
Yeah.
You know, this a movie that I honestly did not think was going to be any good, because to be honest, most Christian movies are awful. But last
yeah.
year I was really surprised when the movie Jesus Revolution came
yeah.
out. I put off going to see it in the theaters for a long time, and then I kept hearing people say, no, it's really good. I was like, okay, but like, it's a Christian movie. Is it really that good?
Yeah,
and I went saw it.
It's no Happy Gilmore. But.
Right. Yeah, where's Adam Sandler? But to be honest, I went in super skeptical, and I was just blown away by the movie. And honestly, one of the scenes that really just strikes me in that movie is the conversation between Lonnie Frisbee and Pastor Chuck, I can't remember his last name.
I have to admit, I haven't seen the movie.
Oh, okay. Well, in the movie, they're talking about like this. You've got this pastor who is in a church that is very small. It's very closed off. He's very judgmental against all of the hippies and the people that are doing drugs. And they're like, oh, these weird people, they just need to take a shower, you know?
Right,
and,
right. Cut their hair.
Yeah. It's very, old man shakes fist at the sky, yes. You know, kind of vibes. But, then he has a meeting with Lonnie Frisbee, who's this Jesus loving hippie who's going and evangelizing, and they have a conversation. And there's a quote that really stood out to me. And because he's asked to describe the hippies to this pastor. And he says, how would I describe my people? They are sheep without a shepherd, chasing hard after lies. And the trouble is, your people reject them. So I ask you, pastor, how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? We can only walk through doors opened to us. And your church, well, that's a door that's shut.
Ooh.
And it hits so hard,
yeah.
Because you know, in the time when the Jesus Revolution happened, the hippies were a group of people, a massive culture within America that was desperate for someone to reach out to them.
Yeah, they were looking for truth and life, and like mm-hmm. they were searching, obviously.
Right, and so you know, for these pastors that saw the need. And instead of judging people who were different than them, had compassion on them.
Yeah.
And then a revival broke out.
Yeah.
And I believe that that's the same thing today, that as the church continues to shrink in America, as the culture tends to become less and less like the Judeo-Christian worldview, people tend to look with judgmentalism and seeing things from...
Well, and we want to protect ourselves and our families. There's this real sense of, mm-hmm. I don't want that coming, touching me. I don't want that infiltrating me.
Yeah, and we get scared.
And we get scared.
And because we don't understand it, you know. But I think if the church shifts their perspective and says, okay, God, I want to see people the way that you see people.
Yeah.
Help me to see the need to have that compassion that Jesus had. Then I think we're poised for an incredible revival.
Yeah.
You know, of people who have been chasing hard after the lies and looking for truth in all of the wrong places. And I believe that it just takes the church shifting its perspective, shifting our hearts away. Because even if we have a value of saying we're all welcome, but if in our hearts we still are building up those walls.
Like, yeah, but maybe not you, not so sure about you being welcome.
Because people can tell if something is just your words or if something is true from your
heart. People spot a phony from a mile away. Mm-hmm. They really do.
And I think that honestly, people are just desperate for that connection. Because people have been leaving the church in droves because they haven't felt accepted or haven't felt loved or they've had bad experiences and the whole like evangelical movement. Mm-hmm. And people are finding the connection in places like the movie theater and places
video games, like a multiplayer.
Yeah, going on games. Twitch and Discord, or people who are going to sporting events and they've got their season tickets to the Mavs or the Stars, and they've got their group of people that they're always with. And you know, I hear people say all the time things like, "The movie theater is my church," or you know, insert sporting event here is my church.
Yeah.
Or video games is my church, or whatever it is.
Or the hiking club, the running club, the rock climbing club.
Yeah. Because you're finding a community and you're talking
about
life with
people. That are very accepting.
Yes.
Right? I mean, your only thing you have to be is like, you have to like the Mavs.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But other than that, it's like, come all one, come all.
Right. But man, I'll tell you, like, God help us if the world is more accepting than the church.
Woo.
Because
amen, brother.
We have got to care for people well. Yeah. And if we are so concerned about ourselves and that we are rejecting other people, we're missing it.
I agree with you 100%. You are speaking my language. So let's talk practically for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we've got a bunch of life groups out there, potentially, your small groups of all kinds, mm-hmm. all flavors, listening. Say, what would you say? How can they take a step towards, you know, being a little more outward facing,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, going out, sharing the gospel, evangelizing, but also caring for those in need. I think those are probably the two big areas of need in our world. And sometimes they, like you said, physical needs, spiritual needs often intersect.
Yeah, yeah.
So what would be some practical things you would say for people?
Well, I think that there's a lot of practical things that you can do as far as serving as a group.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, instead of just doing Bible studies or fellowship nights, to say, hey, this week we're all going to go volunteer at Hope Women's Clinic, or we're going to go do another community service project, or work with one of, you know, the amazing partners that our church partners with locally, or, you know, we're going to help, or say, hey, as a group, let's all do a mission trip together, you know, because we've got tons of mission trips that, we want to do. And we know that there's need all over, and it just takes people to say yes and go.
Yeah. You know? And I think, you know, our ministries here have done a really good job of vetting some community partners that they really, you know, they're about honoring the dignity of people, honoring, not being paternalistic and kind of, you know, but like, how can we lift you up? What can we do to serve you and lift you up? And so our community partners are wonderful. And so they're all on the website. So, and there's even a, now on the landing page, when you go to serve, I think under serve opportunities, it even has, you know, serve as a group.
Yeah.
You click on that and there's a list of things that are, you know, would be practical for, you know, 10, 12 people to do. Together.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just to broaden the scope a little bit, even beyond just doing like volunteering, service projects, mission trips, you can even change up the way you do your small group to become more impact oriented, to become more missional. For instance, my first church that I worked at, unfortunately, no longer exists. It folded under financial stresses and things like that, and I was just interning with the youth ministry, and then all of a sudden, you've got a youth ministry of kids that don't have anywhere to go. And so I said, well, I don't really know what's next, but I'm just going to open up my home and we're just going to start doing a small group Bible study at my house on Thursday nights. And I reoriented it a little bit and said, let's do our group at the park. You know, we were in Allen. And so we started meeting at Bethany Lakes Park in Allen outside on Thursday evenings. And, you know, it started small. But by week four, there was 50 people gathering in Bethany Lakes Park.
Nice.
Of high schoolers and college kids. And, you know, you can't really do a small group, but we were trying. We were like on the hill outside of the rec center.
Like, you felt like Jesus speaking to the crowd. Dude, you're like, how can I get loud enough?
We literally made a circle of 50 people out on that hill. And we were like shouting at each other as we were doing a Bible study on 1 Corinthians. And but like, then people are seeing what we're doing.
Yeah.
And then like some kid is riding his bike up and being like, hey, what are you guys doing? Hey, we're doing a Bible study. Can me and my sister join you guys? Of course you can, you know? And then him and his sister started coming to the Bible study even when we moved it back to my house after a while when it started getting cold. But you can just start doing things in public places. And when people see something's going on, when they see a group of people who are really enjoying each other, having a good time, and they're curious, and you never know who you're going to encounter just by doing things out in public.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
and
a
being
really
more inviting.
That's a really good practical tip.
But then the other thing I would say is maybe turning your attention to the other needs that are in the church, because there's a lot of areas that I know that we need help. Even though we've got quite a few small group leaders with students, we're still short in some other areas. I know we're still looking for more people to help with kids ministry
and life group leaders.
You know, we are so short on, we've got so many people,
women's Bible study leaders.
Yeah. We've got so many people coming to the church,
yeah,
especially young adults who are in their 20s and 30s that are in need of a group, and the groups are so full.
Yeah.
I think God has been highlighting the need for more leaders for quite some time. And what I believe, you know, based on what we were talking about with spiritual gifts earlier, when there's a need, God is going to gift people.
Yes.
And equip them to meet that need.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
I firmly believe that there are people in the church right now who are gifted and called to start a life group, or maybe to branch out and you know, you've been in a small group for a really long time and it's been great for you, but maybe God is saying it's time for you to go out and to start a life group and to help other people have those incredible experiences that you've had. I firmly believe that if there's that need for more leaders, that God's calling people right now to say yes to that.
I absolutely agree. Because, yeah, there's a lot of people out there who are desperate for community. They're really mm-hmm. looking for it. But if we invite them to a small group of 40 people.
Yeah.
And then how are they going to feel welcome?
Right.
So, yeah, I would just really encourage people. We don't ever want to arm twist around here. We want the Spirit mm-hmm. to lead.
Yeah.
We want people to know that God is. But, man, He equips people He calls. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I have experienced that ourselves.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We both didn't walk into ministry going, I know everything. I feel yes. so confident yeah. in what I'm doing. I mean, we probably stumbled and fell yeah. down a lot. But the Spirit was there mm-hmm. going, keep going. I got you.
He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called.
Amen. Amen.
And so, like, and I want to preface, too. I'm not saying that every single person is called to be a life group leader.
No.
We're all called and equipped in different ways to serve.
Yeah, because you know what? That leader may need someone who's really administrative and is like,
yes.
you know what? I'll handle the prayer requests and I'll handle the meeting invites and I'll do all this back behind the scenes stuff. We need people like that as well.
As someone who is not administrative at all.
Please help us.
Yes.
We're desperate. Please help us. Yeah, no, that's good, Jake. Well, I want to turn the conversation to students.
Okay.
Because you guys just had your big fall launch
uh-huh.
last Wednesday.
Yes, we did.
How did it go?
It went great. Lots of energy in the room. We did a lot of fun things to celebrate it being the first night with small groups and stuff. So, I mean, there was tons of students there. All of our leaders were there. I mean, we really set a fun party atmosphere. I mean, we gave all the kids glow sticks for
nice.
Worship and shot off confetti cannons during Glorious Day and had all the kids are just jumping and worshiping with
That's
all
so
the
fun.
Energy. Yes, it's that type of worship experience is just my favorite.
Yeah.
You know, just I feel like, you know what, if I don't leave worship really sweaty.
Did you really worship at all?
Exactly. You know, but yeah, it was just so fun.
What are you praying for our students mm-hmm. this year? This kind of speaks to like, what concerns mm-hmm. do you have? But I don't want to phrase it in a mm-hmm. negative way.
No,
it's
no.
It's just like, there's always challenges. So what are you praying about? And then let us as this podcast community join you in praying.
Yeah. To all the parents listening, we have no concerns.
Everything's
totally
perfect.
Under control.
Yeah.
Yeah. No worries. No. One of the things that we did when we went to summer camp this year is we had church group time every night, and one of the nights we had all of the students in one big circle, and we opened it up and said, "Hey guys, what are the things that you see that needs to happen in student ministry?"
That's great.
And you know what? It opened up a can of worms. And yeah, it was messy feedback. And everyone was like, I was like, okay, I don't really know that we're going to be able to do all of those things. But
right.
thank you for speaking. You know, but one of the things that really was highlighted as the students were sharing was a need to get back to the basics of what does it mean to be a Christian?
Mm.
How do you do this Christianity thing?
Mm-hmm.
How do you pray?
Yeah.
How do you read your Bible? And so we're actually... this week we're launching our, you know, new series that we're going to start the semester with called The Follower's Manual.
Oh, good.
That's good. That is kind of getting back to the basics of Christianity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how do I get saved? How do I pray? How do I read my Bible? Things like that.
That's great.
Very practical, very, or very much oriented in the way of saying, like, all right, I know you hear all of these Christianese kind of words that are said a lot, but like, yeah, how, like, what are you supposed to pray? Like, rub a dub dub, thanks for the grub, amen,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. And, or thou art Father, yeah. thine grace, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's extremes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, or this week we're doing how do I get saved? And then
Good.
the next week we're doing how do I read the Bible? Because when I first tried to read the Bible on my own, And I was like, you know what? Revelation sounds cool. And I was like,
oh, those multi-headed beasts. I don't know about those.
I was just like, yeah. And, you know, of course, I did have one person that, you know, was like, well, did you read the part about the Apache helicopters?
And, oh,
you know,
no.
You know, all of those things. Yes. And I was like, I think I missed that part. I don't really, but I didn't understand anything. I didn't know what I was doing.
Right. No, of course.
But I think God also honors us foolishly
of
going into
does.
God's word.
He
and
is
being
so
like,
delighted when anybody opens the Bible to read it.
Yes.
Sincerely. He is so yeah. delighted.
But yeah, then the other thing I would say that is just on my heart for
yeah.
this year is the word that's just come to mind is harvest. Actually, I think that over the past several years, we've just been planting a lot of seeds with the students that have been in the ministry and also with the ministry itself and saying, okay, God, like coming out of COVID, what does CF students need to look like differently? And we've been laying a lot of the groundwork and,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've had different emphases every year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we really emphasized worship and we've seen the very visible fruit of those efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that this year is just a year that we're going to start seeing those seeds that have been planted over the years in the lives of the students and in the ministry start to bear fruit. And so, like, from a practical level, I'm really excited to see which of our students are going to be accepting Christ for the first time.
Yeah.
Which of those students are going to be students that are rededicating their lives to Christ or students that are getting baptized. I mean, this past year, we had... I think it was 27 students got baptized.
That's awesome.
And I was like, man, we just keep having more and more kids saying, I want to get baptized. And I think that I'm just seeing the Lord doing something and I just see it just continuing to build and build. So I'm just excited to see what type of harvest, is going to be, coming to pass this year.
That's so awesome, Jake. Well, I'm going to close this in prayer and I'm going to pray for your ministry right now.
Awesome.
Father God, I thank you for Jake. I thank you for the work you have done in his life. I thank you for how you have gifted him and equipped him over the years to bring him to this place to pour into our students. And so, Father, I just pray for him and his whole team that you would bless their efforts this year, that they would see that harvest, the groundwork they've been laying over the last few years would really, they would see the fruit of that. They would see more and more students come to know you, more and more students come to want to follow you with their entire heart devoted to you, that they would be in their Bibles and that they would be talking about you to their friends and inviting their friends into this amazing family, the family of God, Lord, where they would meet you and be saved and know how much you love them and desire to spend eternity with them. So, Father, I just ask for all your endurance and strength and wisdom and guidance for Jake and his team as they start this new year. I pray that that you would continually guide them into what is right and what is the best course, and that you would give them supernatural love to pour out on these students. It's in your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, everybody, we will see you back next week for the start of our Philippians series. You don't want to miss it.